Tonight I want to look at something the Apostle Paul said in one of his last letters he wrote while he was in prison. Philippians 4:13. I'll give you a chance to turn there in your Bible. I got them all printed out here. Of course, I got the Bible right here. I could go there, but it's easier for me to do it this way, so that's the way I do it. Okay. You can do it the way you want to. Some people have said to me, well, you don't ever turn in the Bible. I said, well, I do all the time. But I said, it's easier for me to print it out because with the cut and paste, you can get it right here, and then I don't have to do all of that. And it makes the sermon a little shorter. That y'all should like that. Everybody knows this scripture. It's Miss Lynette's favorite scripture. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now I want to read that from several different translations. The Amplified Classic Version says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I want you to notice that one. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Contemporary English says, Christ gives me strength to face anything. The Darby translation, I have strength for all things in him that gives me power. Phillips New Testament, I am ready for anything through the strength of the one who lives within me. The Disciples Literal translation, I can do all things by means of the one strengthened me. The Original Living Bible, for I can do everything God asked me to do with the help of Christ who gives me strength and power. Message Version, whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through in the one who gives me, who makes me who I am. Now, sometimes people, you know, that well, this verse refers to physical strength. But if you look at it in these different versions, you see that it infers a whole lot more than that. It infers being strong and when you have negative circumstances. It talks about and refers to being mentally and emotionally strong. It refers to being strong in whatever is the will of God in your life. In other words, God will be strong through Jesus Christ in every area of your life, no matter what you're going through or where you're at or what's going on. You know, Dad said we're going to start the Bible school, and he told us to run it. And, most people don't realize how tough it was that first year. I had another teacher to help me, and at that time it was 8 o'clock till 12 o'clock. I mean, it was 8 to 9, 9 to 10, 10 to 11, 11 to 12. That was... And I had another teacher, and after September, he quit. So now I don't have any help except me. I'm it. I'm the office. I take all the, I do all the corrections. I do everything. I mean, there's nothing, there's no helper. And, I'm teaching 4 hours a day in classes, and I hadn't had an opportunity to prepare for that because it just dropped on me. I was going to teach a couple hours. And so, you know, I went to those classes every day. You know, I told my wife, came home, and I told my wife, I said, we have to sell everything we got. I said, hawk, that's what we mean, you know, go pawn, I think y'all would call it. That's an old school statement. But Raymond's going to go. I went to school every day that first year. I didn't have one penny in my pocket to buy lunch. I believed God during that time. If I got anything to eat, nobody knew it. I didn't tell anybody. I'm talking about you. You have to make up your mind you can do it in Christ. I'm doing what God told us to do. I learned to be happy in the time with the Lord, you know, because I knew it was the will of God. And I was relying on his strength and his power. And, of course, the rest of the story, you're here. Rhema's here, and it's gone a long way from 58 students that graduated that first year. You know, you have to learn to be content and happy and satisfied where you are. Someone said, if you're not happy where you are, you won't be happy when you get to wherever it is that you want to go. Now, that's a pre-reference to everything, you know, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. Now, I want us to back up to 4:10-12. I think you'll get a better understanding of why Paul is making the statement he makes in 4:13. Let's read this here. I'm going to read it from New King James and the NLT. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at least you care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. Now, you understand a little bit better in NLT. How I praise the Lord that you're concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I ever needed it, for I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty or with plenty or little. Now, the Philippian believers, if you'll do a little study, you'll find out that they are one of the few churches that actually supported Paul in his efforts financially. They encouraged Paul with their gifts and thoughtfulness. And Paul states that there have been times when he didn't have enough. And there were times when he had plenty. Is that not what he said there? Huh? And now we don't like to hear, you know, sometimes we don't have a lot, but we're believing for the plenty. But I want you to notice that he learned that no matter what the circumstances are, and he went ahead and made this statement in Philippians 4:19, God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Remember, we're still in this same chapter. We're still reading from the same context that Paul was talking about when I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And then he goes, he goes on talking about that. And when he was in those situations, that's why he said, God will supply all your needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus. And you need to keep in mind that God cares about you whether you have plenty or whether you have a lot. That doesn't change anything with him at all, period. The question is, are you still exercising your faith and trusting in God's promises when you're in lack, or when you're in plenty? There's a lot of people that trust God as long as everything's going all right and everything, you know. But it's another thing when your back's against the wall and you don't see any way out. And a lot of people, they talk a good talk as long as everything is good. But let something change and they start talking out the other side of their mouth. You know. And all the guys that I'm in here, they understand what I'm talking about when I say, hey, there's some people that they talk a good talk, but man, if you back them in the corner, it's not there. That talk is all gone. You know, one time a guy was talking about what they were going to do. We were going to play them in a game, and he was talking about it, and he's talking about what all they're going to do. And I said, hey, bud, your talk's cheap. Let's see what happens when I get you on the field out there. Okay, I wasn't going. He was trying to get me to talk back. My talking I do when I went on that field. And when I had the opportunity, I got a couple of good blocks in on him, too. You see, Paul learned not to be moved by anything. He was the same all the time, whether he had a lot or whether he didn't have any, whether he was hungry or whether he was full. That's what he said there, didn't you? And did you read it? See, he was only moved by what God said. Well, you know, in Acts 20:24, they kept telling him that he is going to get in trouble if he went to Jerusalem and so forth and so on. And we don't have time to read all that. I'll just read the one verse. He said, but none of these things move me. None of these things move me. And then in Acts 17:28, he said, in Him we live and move and have our being. Paul learned the great secret in verse 11. I want us to turn back there and look at that in verse 11, okay? I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Okay? I have learned, and the NLT says, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I want you to pay particular attention to something. He said, I have learned. Hello? How many of you learned to ride a bicycle? How many of you got scraped knees and hands? And yeah. See, that's what Paul's talking about. He had to learn in the midst of all of this stuff that he could still overcome through Christ Jesus. You fall off that bike, your dad or brother or whoever's trying to help you learn to ride the thing, they keep encouraging, say, hey, come on, you can do it. Come on, you can do it, right? That's what God's telling us. It's okay. There are going to be some pitfalls. Paul is telling you that right there. I mean, sometimes people say, well, faith, faith, faith. Well, wait a minute. This is the guy that wrote more about faith than anybody else in the whole New Testament. Right? And yet he's talking about he had hardships. He had situations that he had to face. Sounds to me like there's sometimes he might have been hungry. Hello? I never was really hungry. But man, when Dad first went out on the road back in 1949, I was in third grade, and in the seventh grade, it was tough. We didn't have a whole lot to eat. Beans and cornbread most of the time. Pinto beans or navy beans and cornbread. Hello? But Dad just kept saying, listen, we're doing what God told us to do, and God will bring us out on the other side if we'll stay the course. There's a lot of people that start strong, but you got to finish strong. You know, guys used to say to me, well, Hagin, when I was running track, said, you're not very fast out of the blocks. I said, yeah, but who, where am I when the 220, I ran the 220 yards, not meters, yards. I said, where am I when we hit the finish line? Well, you're in front. I said, yeah. I said, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. There says Billy Goodoo Good. I'm going to tell a story on him. We're playing flag football out here, right out there on that field. I'm, 47, 48 by then, and I drug across the middle, and Bill McNeese hit me with a pass, and I started out, and old Billy, he's fast. He said, I'll catch him. And he'll tell you, he said to me, hey, you was pulling away when you went across the goal line. Is that right, Billy? And he was fast. I'm not. You could outrun me now, bud. But you know, I said all that to say, you see, I never was concerned about how I started. I was concerned about the finish. Come on now. Paul learned this. This wasn't something that he had in the natural. He had to acquire this. He learned how to be content where he was, knowing that in Christ he was going to make it through to the other side. Too many people, when the crisis come and the situations come and the circumstances come, they set up camp. Oh, this is too hard. That's what I'm talking about, setting up camp. Oh, man, this is too hard. No. Paul was one that was on the move. Study his life. You'll find out he was a mover and shaker. He wasn't sitting around waiting for something to happen. He knew what God had called him to do, and he was making it happen. See, we need to know what God has told us that we can have in the Word of God, and then we need to make it happen. Now, the enemy's going to do everything he can to keep us from doing it, but this is where we have to put our feet down, dig our heels in, as we say down in Texas, where I come from, and say, okay, I'm coming out of this. You know, Paul was busy doing what God told him to do. And he said, I learned to be content, happy, satisfied, because he knew what the answer was. Isn't it fun to take a test when you already know the answer? But that's exactly where we are in life. The devil is testing us, but we know the answer. So there's no use to get upset or uptight. I see people get all the time, they get all uptight about taking it. I never got uptight about taking a test. I knew that if I studied, that I would pass the test. If I hear it or read it or study it, I can remember it. Anybody can that concentrates. What happens is they're reading, but they're not concentrating. They're listening, but they're not hearing. Come on. In the classroom. That's why Jesus kept saying, he kept saying to the people he's teaching, if you have a ear, let him hear. Anybody ever notice that in the Word of God? A lot of people got ears, but they're not hearing. That's what wives say about husbands a lot of times. They tell us to take out the trash or go do something. Go to the grocery store and come back and don't have everything that you're supposed to. Any of you guys ever went to the grocery store and your wife told you to get some stuff, and you come back and you didn't have that. I see somebody holding up two hands. My wife, if she sends me to the store, she gives me a list. Puts it on. She gives me a list and sends it to me on my phone. He learned to be happy wherever he was, knowing what God had said. What through Jesus Christ. He learned to be satisfied when he knew that he was doing what God had called him to do. Some people get unhappy and discontented when they sense that God has something for them in the future. You got to learn to be content where you are and let God unfold the plan and let it happen. Don't try to make it happen. You have to guard against being discontent. Because if you're not careful, you sense something. And if you're not careful, you'll get out of the will of God by trying to make it happen instead of just staying steady where you're at and let it happen as God unfolds it. Oh, I'm not getting a lot of amens there, because it's not any fun to stay in that position. Been there, done that. Okay? If you're confident that God is working what he said he would work, then you can be content and rejoice in the Lord. You know, Paul goes on there in Philippians, and he's writing in Philippians. He said, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. And he's sitting in a prison cell. Most of you have been moaning and groaning. Oh, Lord, I'm doing what you said to do. Now look where it got me. Come on now. Hey, you may have something in your spirit stirring. But until it's time for those things to come to pass, be content where you're at. Standing firm on the word of God. Knowing that he will deliver you. See, actually, in Ecclesiastes, it says there's a time for everything. Actually, time and place. You know, no matter where you are right now, learn to be content and rejoice in the Lord. It may look like that there's no way out. But if you're believing what God said in his word, rejoice and be content where you are, knowing that's not the finality. That's not the finale. You know, when you go to one of these concert deals and all that kind of stuff, they have the finale. And it's always, you know, in a fireworks show. I mean, man, the last part. Hey, you can rejoice knowing that the finale is coming, and man, it is going to be great. Hello? Come on now. Anybody understand what I'm trying to say to you tonight? We need to learn some things. Paul did not say he was strong in himself. He didn't say he was doing this in himself. He said he was in Christ. That amplified version of that says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything. And equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength. Any of you ever watch, some of you watch football, especially the pros? If it's really hot and some of those guys start to get dehydrated, they go into the locker room and they get an infusion of liquid. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Hello? This is what he is saying. He is saying to you that right here, I'm ready for anything, equal to anything, through him who infuses me with inner strength. The strength of the man on the inside. Then I like this. I am self-sufficient in Christ. In Christ. It all comes back to Paul's revelation of who we are in Christ. The authority of the believer all comes back to who we are in Christ. See, Paul was, he understood this, and he was very strong in talking about the reality of being in Christ. If you ever notice, he's the only one that was so strong on that. And they call that the Paulinian revelation. If you go to Bible school, to regular, you know, Bible schools and theology and talk about all that stuff. In his writings, if you will look, you will see that he continually talked about and emphasized, I should say, I guess, who he was in Christ. And he tells us to do the same thing, who we are in Christ, what he had in Christ, and what he could do in Christ. When you get a hold of who you are in Christ and what you have because that he went and hung on that cross and rose from the dead, and what you can do through Christ, it will change the way you believe, the way you talk, the way you act. Come on now. Dad says Paul's revelation of who you are in Christ and what you can have and do in Christ will change your life. That's a direct quote from a fellow by the name of Kenneth E. Hagin. That happened to be my dad. Craig's granddad, Blake's great-grandfather. Paul was not telling you to do something based on your own ability and your own strength. He was telling you to accomplish what God says in his word about you based on Christ in you. That's why you need to say every day, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. That's why you need to say, I can do whatever I need to do today because of Christ. If you knew Dad, that's one of the things that he talked strong about. Am I right, Doug? You travel the road with him, you know. Craig, he was strong in that. Because people want to have, they say, oh, I'd like to have faith like Brother Hagin. I've heard them say it a thousand times. I heard people say it. If you get a hold of who you are in Christ, you can have that kind of faith. I mean, he actually lived. The Bible said it. I believe it. That settles it, period. That was him. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This is Paul again talking about in Christ. Am I right or wrong? Then talking to his son Timothy in the faith. You therefore, my son, be strong in grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul, he faced great difficulties and great persecutions. He was challenged every time he turned around. But he came through it all. In fact, the Message Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, he told me, my grace is enough. It is all you need. My strength comes into you into its own in your weakness. I want you to listen to it. My strength comes into its own in your weaknesses. That's Christ saying his strength. Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. Now I take limitations in stride with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over. So the weaker I get, the stronger I become. Do you understand that? He's saying, I get weaker when I take myself out of it, and I get stronger when I put Christ in it, up there. You understand what? Quit trying to do it in myself. How many times have you seen people, they keep trying to do something, finally, their self, they keep doing, and finally, they come and say, oh, would you help me? Would you pray with me? Would you help me? They didn't have to go through all that. Anybody ever seen anybody do that? I guess maybe I'm the only one. I don't know. But I see some other people raising their hands, okay? Paul lived in the reality. Get a hold of this now. Paul lived in the reality of being strong in the Lord even when he was physically, emotionally, or mentally weak. I'm going to say that again. Some of you didn't get it. He lived in the reality of being strong in the Lord even when he was weak physically, emotionally, or mentally. Come on now. That's why you say, I am strong in the Lord. We have to learn to tap into the strength. You know, the answer to the question of why Christians are weak sometimes is very simple. It's in their confession of who they are in Christ. My dad says this, I'm reading from his book. The majority of Christians, though sincere, are weak. This is because they never really dare to confess what God's word says about them. And they never dare to confess that they are what the Bible says they are, that they are who the Bible says they are, and they have what the Bible says they have. Now in Joel 3:9-10, I'm only going to use he's talking to the prophet here is talking to the people and telling them to prepare for war and beat their plowshares into swords and so forth. And in the last, he says, let the weak say I'm strong. Here he's instructing them with instructions what to do to get ready for war. But then he says, let those that don't think that they can do it say I'm strong. Something happens when you begin to quote the word of God, who you are in Christ. Something happens when you begin to quote those in him scriptures. You need to get a hold of that. If you don't have it, get a hold of that little book back there called Him, In Him, that Dad put together. And confess those scriptures, some of those scriptures every day. You don't have to confess all of them, but confess one or two of them every day. When you start your day, confess one or two of them. It starts your day off letting the devil know that you know who you are in Christ and that he can't defeat you. F.F. Bosworth in Christ the Healer said, a spiritual law that few recognize is that our confessions rule us. It is what we confess with our lips that really dominate our inner being. Make your lips do their duty. Refuse to allow them to destroy the effectiveness of God's word in your case. That's why it's so important what you say. E.W. Kenyon in his book, Power of Your Words, says, confession builds the road over which faith hauls its mighty cargo. You will never enjoy the riches of grace until you confess them. God wants you to have everything that he said in his word, but you get it by your confession. You're limiting yourself when you're talking the wrong way. You talk wrong because you think wrong. There's another book out there called Right and Wrong Thinking. Need to get a hold of it. God has provided everything for us. But now listen to this. He's only able to deliver it to us if we confess what the Word of God has to say about who we are in Christ. So the enemy's coming at you. Just look at him and say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Because of who I am in Christ, no weapon can be formed against me. You know, everybody stand up. It's 8:01. I'm 1 minute over time. So stand up. If you have your Bible, get it and hold it up. If not, hold up your device that's got your Bible on it. Say this with me. This is my Bible. It's the Word of God to me. I am who it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I am strong in the Lord. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. When I feel weak, I'm strong in Christ. When I'm weak, I declare I am strong in Christ. I am happy and content because I know God is working for me. He's performing His promises in every one of my situations. I am strong in the Lord. God has provision for me, and I rejoice because He does all things for me through Christ Jesus. God is moving in my behalf because the Word says so. And I confess through Jesus Christ, the Word is working for me now. Now raise your hands and rejoice a little bit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm strong in the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And no weapon formed against me will ever prosper. Hallelujah. How many of you believe that? Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I just want to stir you up a little bit. I know all of you know all of that. Everything I said, you've heard it before, maybe a different way, but I've heard it all my life. And I probably say it in a little, I've heard Dad teach it, but I say it a little different than him. And then when Craig teaches stuff, he's heard his pawpaw and me, and he says it a little different. But it depends on the generation that you're from, the way you say stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, we're so glad everyone is here with us tonight. But listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can't rejoice in the way what we were rejoicing in just now. Or if you know what it is to serve Him, but you have veered off track, and you can't rejoice in that way tonight. If you'll come down here, the ladies here, the men over here, and if you need Christ or need to rededicate your life, they'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. If you want to receive the blessed infilling of the Holy Spirit, you're born of the Spirit, but you've never been filled with the Spirit. What am I talking about? I'm talking about Acts 2:4 says they were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's what I'm talking about. If you'd like to be filled with the Spirit, come down here. They'll pray with you. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, come down here. They'll pray with you about whatever it is that you need. If you're a first-time guest, we really thank you for being with us tonight. Did we have any first-time guests? If so, our people, connection team are going to come and get you, take you out into the out there in the foyer, and there's a special gift we have just for you right out there. We're so glad to have you. If you're looking for a church home, won't we say church? Welcome home. Yeah, here comes our right down here. And would you just go with our connection team member that get that special gift? Let's give them a hand for being with us tonight. Thank you for being here with us. Praise the Lord. Sunday morning right here, 10 o'clock. Don't forget all the announcements. God bless. We'll see you later. If you need prayer for any reason, salvation, rededication, Holy Spirit, anything, come to the front right now and they'll pray with you. God bless.